Now, a story we've been following for much of the pandemic, the movement of people in and out of jobs. Unemployment numbers are low. According to the latest weekly numbers, new unemployment claims were at their lowest point in over 50 years. But new job numbers for last month were lower than expected. And lots of people are leaving jobs for a variety of reasons. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you looking for a job? Did you just start a new job, just leave a job, or get promoted? If you had some kind of employment change in the last year or two, if you hire people, what are things like for you right now? Tough to find staff, or are things going pretty well? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Schaefer is Associate Professor of Economics and Director of the Center for Business and Economic Analysis at St. Norbert College. Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, pleasure to be here.
Well, one of the new pieces of info out this week, the Federal Labor Report, saw a jump in the number of job openings up to a record, near record, I should say, high of 11 million. Do we know where those openings are coming up? Is there a particular sector of the economy that's driving that increase?
Yeah, so I mean, right now, I mean, the big conversation, as you alluded to earlier, is we have this sort of labor shortage dynamic happening in the economy. And there's areas in particular that we know are just desperate for workers. And you can think a lot of these are sort of tied to what we could call maybe COVID-sensitive industries, right? So the services industry in particular, you know, retail services is having a hard time, leisure, hospitality, accommodation. Those are the areas right now that they're trying to get workers. And for a number of reasons, workers just aren't jumping into these types of jobs. In spite of, you know, most of us drive around, we might see, now hiring signs all over the place. And if you look at the type of industry, that's the industry that we're talking about, where we're definitely seeing a lot of these challenges in particular.
Now, people talk about the great resignation, a lot of people, record numbers of people leaving jobs. What, as you look at that, what are some of the reasons, the stories behind those statistics? I'm imagining it might be a different story, maybe for each one of those people who changed their job situation.
Yeah, so the Great Resignation, I think, is it's a great term, kind of tying to like the Great Recession, sort of piggybacking off of that language. But I think it might be a little misleading, mm-hmm. right? So we know the quit rate's up right now. I think the latest numbers, it was at about 2.8% of labor force quit in the October 2021 numbers. Which sounds like a lot. It's about 4.1 million workers. But when you start to unpack, you know, what's happening, who are these people that are quitting and why are they quitting? I think there's a lot of dynamics at play, right? So part of the Great Resignation conversation is you have a lot of workers who are 55 plus, and they might be resigning or quitting, but a lot of them are taking early retirements, or maybe they had their second job, second retirement job, working at a Home Depot or Walmart or something like that, just picking up some hours in retirement. You're seeing a lot of that demographic has kind of left the labor force. That's an important part of the conversation. I think you also see there's a large segment that still has challenges with dependent care. So taking care of children with school fluctuations and things, taking care of aging parents. That's another segment we know that is left. But the other part of this, which I think can't be undersold, is that a lot of the people that are quitting because they have really good job opportunities and they're quitting to take a new job somewhere else. I caught an article recently that kind of said this is like the free agency period for workers, so to speak, because there's a lot of opportunity for them. And, you know, they can switch jobs. Wages are going up right now. And in a labor shortage, they have opportunities where they can get, you know, increases in pay. And maybe they want hybrid remote work opportunities. And companies are willing to do those things because they're looking for workers right now.
Is there a portion of the job market where we're seeing the biggest wage gains? Is it the service sector workers you were talking about earlier?
You know, I know for a fact a lot of the service numbers are up because they're trying everything they possibly can to effectively get people to come on board. You know, I mean, it's interesting, you know, for years we've been talking about the $15 minimum wage thing. Which, you know, from the government perspective, that's been a process, but we're seeing a lot of companies just jumping to do that right now on their own because they're looking for those types of workers. Of course, the challenge right now with the increase in wages, and it's, you know, that's good news, right? Wages are going up. I think the latest report went up about 4.8% in the recent job numbers or something like that. But the challenge, of course, is it's nice that wages are going up, but we also know the broader perspective is that so is inflation. Mm-hmm. Right. So as things are getting more expensive, it's great that wages are going up so we can pay for some of this stuff. But if the wages aren't keeping up with those inflationary pressures, it's still, you know, while it sounds like it's great news, it's still a challenge when you factor in the inflationary changes we've seen.
Talking to economist Mark Schaefer from St. Norbert College, looking at the latest job number news. You can join in with your personal experience at 800-642-1234. Have you left a job in the last few months or a year? Have you changed jobs, gotten a promotion, gotten a raise? What is your job story? Did you retire early, earlier than you planned to anyway? If you are an employer, how hard is it? Is it hard for you to find workers? Are you having trouble keeping up staffing, or are things going smoothly in your line? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. So, Mark, I talked about some what seemed to be pretty positive job numbers, but then we had the monthly job report from last month, 200-ish thousand new jobs nationwide. Sometimes that sounds like a really good number. This time, economists said not such an exciting number. Why not?
Yeah, so this is where that report can be a little bit interesting to unpack. And as an economist, we don't get invited to actually unpack job numbers report to this detail. So I'm excited for the opportunity, I suppose, Rob.
Yeah.
But this is kind of like a tale of two surveys is kind of how I've heard it phrased. So when these reports come out, there's sort of a household survey and there's sort of an establishment survey. And when we got the household survey, we saw the fall in unemployment down to 4.2%, which is good. That's good news. And we also saw an increase in the participation rate. So workers in the labor force, that's also good news, went up by about 500,000 people. But as you alluded to, the conflicting information was we had the establishment survey, which is sort of the payroll survey is what they call it. That one showed that rise of about 210,000 jobs. But the problem was we were expecting something like 550,000. Last month, it went up by about 531,000 jobs. So that sort of gets to, you know, what's happening and what was driving this. And there's a couple of things to note that I think are important. When you look at that survey right now, sectors that saw gains, business services, transportation, warehousing, construction, manufacturing, a lot of these are heavy goods dependent industries, so to speak. And we think about a switch towards us buying a lot of consumer goods is playing into some of that behavior we're seeing in those numbers. But the losses, and we kind of alluded to this, they were heavy in the retail trade, and they were weak in leisure and hospitality. And the reason why that's important to sort of get back to the original question here is those are industries, COVID sensitive in this case, but also industries that are often subject to seasonal fluctuations, a lot of seasonal fluctuations, right? We go into the holidays, these industries typically hire up a lot more workers. So we see a lot of seasonality in these numbers. And one of the things that is one of the concerns about the number we're hearing is there's a lot of ideas or thoughts that probably is a lowball estimate right now. Part of it's because when we actually report these numbers, they usually report the seasonally adjusted number. And one of the problems right now is it's really hard to understand seasonal adjustment because all of the data right now it's weird, right? It's difficult to do these statistical things because the data is not behaving like we're used to seeing. So the first thing is the seasonal adjustment is definitely playing into this, partially because those job areas in particular are areas that are known to be heavily seasonally adjusted. So that's the first challenge. The second thing, and maybe this is the optimistic part of the conversation, is a lot of this government data, national data that we do, because it's survey-based, a lot of it is subject to revision over time. And one of the things we've noticed in particular with job numbers this year is when the first number comes out for this year in 2021, every single month, with the exception of March, the numbers have been revised upwards, which is optimistic, suggesting that maybe we're not actually, this is probably a not telling the full story, and it's probably a little bit higher than that, which is somewhat optimistic.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Janet is with us in Eau Claire. Janet, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Janet?
Well, I'm an employer in early childhood. I have a group learning center, an early childhood learning center, daycare, one would say. And I've had to several months ago raise the wages to $15 an hour and still have difficulties. And talking about seasonal, you know, we hire from the universities, so you have to throw that component in it as well. So it's still difficult in trying to build back to the numbers of families we can serve and employees, you know, on payroll.
Janet, thanks so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it, Mark. Is this holding back the economy? So many businesses, I think, in that same boat as Janet's, where, as she said, we could serve more families if we could bring in more workers.
You know, I think, and Janet, given the industry that she's in, and Janet, thank you for calling in. I mean, that actually is a very important industry for a couple of reasons. I think one, realize one of the things holding back the rest of the economy to an extent is you have a lot of people who left the labor force for childcare reasons. And what we're seeing is, hey, if we can't get enough workers in the childcare sector, that actually is something that's holding us back a little bit. And I think the other point that's interesting about that particular industry is, you know, that's an industry that's a service-based industry. So getting back to those COVID-sensitive industries that are service-based, you're interacting with a lot of people face-to-face, especially with little kids in particular. And especially, I have a couple little ones myself, and, you know, getting a two-year-old to wear a mask is not the easiest thing to do if that's what we're talking about in the environment, right? So I think that's going to be another layer to that, and particularly with the sector that Janet just referenced of childcare.
Thanks again for the call, Janet. We're talking to macroeconomist Mark Schaefer from St. Norbert College, looking at the latest job numbers and news and where it's all going in the long run. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you an employer? What have the last few months been like for you? Are you hiring like hotcakes, getting lots of applications, or having trouble? And if you have left a job, switched a job, gotten a raise at your current job, love to hear from you as well at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Mark Schaefer, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College. We're checking out the latest numbers from the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics Job Openings and Labor Turnover Report released this week, and wider issues in the U.S. job market. You can join in with your questions, your story as an employee or employer at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Doug is with us in Neenah. Doug, hello.
Hello. Hi, Rob. Hi, Mark. My question, I'm college educated. I've got a very good paying job, you know, $30 plus an hour. But with the inflation that's going on, and like you say, the minimum wage is basically, if you will, let's call it doubling. I know my wage isn't going to double. But the impact of the inflation and, you know, all of that on the person that's not going to get the adjustment, our buying power is now kind of going backwards. I was wondering your point of view on, you know, is this going to just drive the recession further in? Or it's going to be hard for those of us that are, quote, middle class right now to stay middle class.
Doug, thanks a lot for the call. Mark, the impact of inflation on people who, in Doug's zone, middle income range, their wages aren't going up, their costs, at least for now, are.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. That's the general issue with inflation, right? That's why we try to keep it a little bit more in check at about, you know, 2% per year. But I think what you're hitting on, Doug, I think is one of the biggest challenges that employers have that feed into the numbers that we're talking about. And employers find themselves in a difficult situation, right? So they're short workers right now. So they're doing everything they can to incentivize, raise wages, et cetera. But the problem is, and this is exactly what you just hit on, Doug, is that what about everybody else who's been with that firm for a while? They're really loyal. They've been doing great work for years, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, right? What about them? And this is where I think, getting back to the quit numbers that we're talking about, I think employers right now are trying to figure out how do we incentivize new workers to come in, but also make sure we're doing everything we possibly can to retain the good quality workers that we have. And is that, hey, are we going to raise wages by 6 or 7% to match that? That's a difficult thing for a firm to commit to if inflation's not going to be persistent, if it's temporary, for example, or are they going to try and give bonuses or something instead? But I think you're hitting on the exact point employers have as their problem right now is how do we actually keep the good workers that we have? And we see right now the quit rates rising, partially because a lot of those workers are saying, well, I'm going to switch right now to a company that can pay me more, give me more of those benefits. But I think you're absolutely right. This is a challenge for anybody that's not giving significant wage increases right now, because you're seeing, you know, the recent numbers were up 6.8%, I think, that came out yesterday for the November numbers for year over year. And unfortunately, one of the major areas that's driving some of that is what's happening to energy prices, gas prices, and that affects everybody. Right. So, I mean, that's going to be the challenge is what happens with inflation in the next, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12 months. And that right now really is the question that policymakers, particularly the Federal Reserve, that's what they're trying to grapple with right now is what do we do about this? And their challenge is, you know, if they want to do something about inflation in particular, right, they're going to maybe they're going to raise interest rates, a slow down the economy, or they're going to pull back some of the asset purchasing that they've done. But of course, one of the challenges is that if they take their foot off the gas to help fix the inflationary problem, you know, what does that do to the GDP? To GDP, because that's going to slow it down. So that's kind of the pickle that we're in right now under the current circumstances.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Valerie with us in Burlington. Valerie, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. So my concern is in regards to health care. The nurses, the age of the average nurse is getting closer and closer to retirement. And so many nurses right now are leaving the profession. Where does the guest see this shortage, and how might we adapt to it? Where will we get more nurses? The compassion fatigue, I don't like to call it burnout, but I call it compassion fatigue, is immense, where no matter what our training's been in, we've never been up against this in the past. And the amount of nurses that can educate is really at a standstill.
Valerie, thank you so much for sharing that experience. I will say that we, Mark, had done shows over the years pre-pandemic about people worried about a coming crunch, a shortage of nurses, as Valerie said, as they age out of the profession. And then came COVID. What are you watching for with healthcare employees in particular?
You know, I can't say that I'm a healthcare expert per se, but first, I appreciate the question from the caller. I sympathize, especially with the compassion fatigue for all the nurses and doctors in the space. But I think one of the challenges, of course, is that's also a field that we need really good, high quality, educated folks in, and it takes some training, right? It's not like we can just, we need more nurses, let's find some. There's a pipeline I think you have to develop over time, which I think is one of the challenges. But I think it sort of gets to one of the larger issues. And maybe some of this is also just a broader state of Wisconsin thing, is that what's happening to the general demographic switches that we're seeing? Let me give you sort of a secondary example. You know, in Wisconsin, we're a state heavy manufacturing state. This has been a similar conversation for manufacturing for a while, right? It's an aging work population in manufacturing. How do we bring in young new workers to fill this gap? We also have, because we're a manufacturing goods dependent state, right, rely heavily on transportation logistics. You know, a recent report I saw, projections suggested that the hot job over the next years, and by hot job, I mean job that we need that we're not going to be able to fill or having a hard time filling, is truck drivers, right? It's the similar thing as trying to figure out how do we actually blend the demographic changes we're seeing from these are the types of jobs that we saw that were, you know, common jobs, and we see a lot of our aging population doing these jobs, but you're not seeing as many people coming up behind them. And in particular, bringing it back to the nursing problem, is that that's going to be a difficult space, especially as young people right now who maybe are, I teach at college, as young people right now who are witnessing the challenges that the nurses and doctors are facing in this space. You know, that's something where I'd be thinking, gee, maybe that's some stress I don't want to take on and jump into that field. And while again, you'll have some that are compassionate and want to do that, absolutely. But an event like this happens, and then what's that do for, you know, the young people who are living through this, who might go, gee, I want to stay away from that sector for a little while because it seems like it's really, really difficult and challenging. So I wish I had a here's the magic wand answer. But I mean, those would be sort of some of my initial thoughts on the situation.
Valerie, thanks for that call. We heard from Jonathan on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jonathan wrote, I'd like to find a new job that's more challenging and remunerative, but the much-hyped labor shortage is really a wage and respect shortage. Past the $16 to $18 per hour threshold, there's no evidence of a labor shortage whatsoever. Jonathan says you still send job applications off into the no-response void. Employers are still hunting unicorns, experienced people seeking another the same job they're already doing for the same pay. Little inclination to train new employees. And yesterday, Jonathan says, I found a job posting offering $14 an hour, master's degree preferred. Do you think employers are keeping up with the reality of the modern market? Jonathan seems to think they are not.
I mean, that's a great question. Again, talking to somebody in higher education, you know, one of my side responsibilities here is directing our data analytics program. And one of the things I've noticed is you have a lot of these job posting for data analytics are expecting what really is 3 to 8 years experience for people coming right out of college, which is just not realistic. Uh-huh. And I think that's going to be the tension right now. Is, you know, we have a labor shortage in that we have a ton of openings that aren't being filled. That's we know that that's happening, right? But then there starts to slide into the job matching part of the conversation, which I think is what the poster's comments kind of getting to, is how do you match those workers with those jobs? And I think, you know, right now the response has been, let's try and make this more appealing by raising wages and sort of answering it from that perspective. But the opposite side of that is, hey, you raise the wage, but you're still not finding the workers that you want. You know, are there employers then that are actually expecting too much for some of these positions, and they actually have to respond by actually lowering some of those expectations, depending on what the skills are required for that job? So, I mean, I do think we have a job matching situation on our hands right now. I think the other challenge, and this maybe there's a pro and con to this, but, you know, with the switch to remote work, and I saw some stat that basically said job postings related to remote work opportunities are way up. Unsurprisingly, I should say. And one of the things I think that makes this a little bit interesting is what that means, though, is a lot of times we think about, okay, we live in a certain region, we look for jobs in that region. The moment that we just open this up and remote work is a much more common thing, let's say at the moment, at least, you just made everything a lot more competitive, right? So if a job's posted remote, you have a lot more people going for that job from all over the country, for example, which raises the competition bar for some of those types of positions, which is another interesting element of our sort of pandemic living, I guess you could say, or pandemic job market challenges.
Mark, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Schaefer, Associate Professor of Economics, Director of the Center for Business and Economic Analysis at St. Norbert College. He joins us today for a look at the latest job news and numbers around the country. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, are you ready to rock? The creators of an online guide to Wisconsin geology join the show for a look at the foundation of our state. That's coming up Monday on Central Time.